Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Bob Geismar, and welcome to another edition of One Thought Golf on Blog Talk Radio. It is high noon Eastern time on March 4th. I'm already still in February. It's March Madness as the PGA Tour moves along to the first World Golf Championship of the year at the Trump International at Doral, and that gets underway tomorrow. We'll talk extensively about that. Also, the secondary event is intriguing to me. It's in Puerto Rico, also at a Trump International golf course. So Donald gets a lot of coverage this week, both events. That is interesting. I'll talk about that. First, I want to start off with last week's event and congratulate Padraig Harrington, who moved from 297th into the top 100 by winning for the first time since 2008 when he won the PGA Championship. So Padraig Harrington wins 6-under par top with 21-year-old, less than half his age, Daniel Berger, Florida State University golfer, a local player out of Jupiter, Florida, who played terrific golf, gets into the playoff, and on the third playoff hole, bumps one into the water, and it costs him the tournament. That's okay. The young man is in terrific shape. He's playing unbelievably great golf for a 21-year-old. They have no fear. He did well on the web.com tour, earned his way onto the PGA Tour, and he is having a sterling rookie campaign. But Harrington gets four birdies on the back nine on Monday morning in a rain-delayed event. As you probably know, we had a tremendous amount of rain in South Florida over the weekend, on Saturday particularly. And it caused a Monday finish, which is rare and not what the PGA Tour wants, but they had no choice. So Harrington goes out and birdies 11, 12, 13, and 14 consecutively, hits in the water on 17, double bogeys. It has to birdie 18 to get in the playoff and then wins the playoff. So 43-year-old Padraig Harrington back in the winner's circle for the first time in 7 years. He's taken the week off. He will play next week at the Valspar at the Innisbrook Resort in suburban Tampa. Okay, so that takes care of last week. Now let's talk about this week. We have 74 players, 14 major champions are in the event at the Doral Tournament, the World Golf Championship Cadillac Invitational. Every one of the top 50 players in the world is scheduled to tee it off tomorrow morning. Fantastic field, as it always is, obviously. Minus one Tiger Woods, who is still on the sidelines, not in the top 50 anyway. Even if he wanted to play, wouldn't be able to, but he's not ready. We'll see if he's going to play before the Masters. If he's going to play at Augusta, we still do not know for sure on Tiger's availability and how he's progressing with his game. I'm going to go on the limb and say he will play before Augusta and then, of course, at Augusta. The satellite event at the Trump International Golf Club in Puerto Rico has 132 players scheduled to tee off tomorrow, 11 major champions. And it's a kind of tournament where a lot of guys are getting in because of taking the week off. So Stephen Ames, Carlos Franco, Jason Gore, Glenn Day, Tommy Gainey. It's a long list of players who are able to get in. Skip Kendall, Guy Boros. I'm just reading a few. Steve Flesch, who have found their way in through various means of qualification to play in Puerto Rico. It's a great chance for some of these guys to, A, make a lot of money, possibly win a tournament and get back on full time to the PGA Tour because you get a 2-year exemption. You do not, however, get an invitation to Augusta, nor do you get an invitation to invitational events like Arnie's and Jack's and Colonial and some of those events. But it is a 2-year exemption, and that's worth gold to a lot of players at certain times in their career. We'll talk extensively about both those tournaments, including giving my picks momentarily. But first, I want to give you my strategy for today, and it's a continuation of last week's strategy with a number of mini strategies based into one. It builds your philosophy, your new outlook, your new philosophy on how to play golf and how to love golf and golf love you back. The only way to learn is in the foxhole. There's simply no way to simulate situational golf except to experience it on the golf course during a round. The strategy here is that we constantly are faced with irregular circumstances during a round, and the only way to learn how to face and conquer these situations is, in fact, to face them and conquer them. So every time you're in a situation, talk out loud, work through them. Remember, you're a player coach. Use that to your advantage. It is trial and error. You're not going to win at this game every single time. But the thought here is that if you prepare and think properly, you will advance over time. This is why I always stress that each problem is an opportunity to get and learn how to lower your scores. There's no way anyone can know what you're feeling during a round except you. Your exact mood at the precise moment of a particular shot is yours and yours alone. I say, have fun with it. Keep focused. Invariably, it happens. We become distracted, even for a split second, and it can easily ruin a shot. The foursome conversation. A bug gets in your eye. A bird chirps at just the wrong time. These things are going to happen. We must develop the ability to back off a shot and regroup. This is not as easy as it sounds. It is an integral part of the one thought golf process. You're allowed one thought and one thought only as your final preparation and execution of a given shot. Each shot carries its own entity and its own value. We've all heard stay in the moment. That is now part of your new game. Keep your emotion controlled. Some people are prone to losing their temper on the golf course, swearing, slamming clubs in the ground, or even worse, throwing clubs. These are all nasty, unproductive habits, to say the least. First, they can throw off your playing partners and can lead to players not wanting to play with you. Second, it increases unwanted adrenaline running through your body. Your heart rate, your thinking might become unclear. We've already decided that bad shots are not going to deter our progress on the golf course. They are as much a part of your game as good shots. The bad shots are not going to ruin your score. It's your reaction to the bad shots. So it'll either make you better or worse. You're on your way to playing better golf. So misbehavior on the golf course is now a thing of the past. I know for some people, this is a challenge. You must always, always remember that you're in control of your golfing day. For example, if you start your day 5 over after 3 holes, you have to think, I have 15 holes ahead of me, and I control the day. The round is still yours. I will have more of my strategy, my continuing tidbits of strategy, as we approach next week's episode. I want to mention that James Hahn, who won at Riviera last week, was 297th in the world when he won. Now, Padraig Harrington wins on Monday, 2 days ago, and he was number 297 going into that event. Well, this week's number 297 is Steve Webster. That's Steve Webster. He is the Englishman. I looked it up. I can't see if he's playing anywhere this week. But the next time number 297 plays, the pressure is on. Let's hope that the number 297 player in the world can win. Okay, let's go down some of the featured groups, at least the groups that I'm interested in at both Trump courses. First, the one at Doral, the Cadillac World Golf Championship, and then the Puerto Rican event. Brooks Koepka is playing with Phil Mickelson and Graham McDowell. What a great excitement for him to play with two major champions. Rory McIlroy is in the group with Bubba Watson and Henrik Stenson. We have Brant Snedeker, Luke Donald, and Bill Haas. Now, that's an interesting group. Not one of those men has won a major, and all three certainly could and have been at the top of the list of non-major winners from time to time, especially Luke Donald, who did ascend to number one in the world. Sergio Garcia and Jordan Spieth, two non-major champions, play with Justin Rose, the U.S. Open champ. Dustin Johnson, Victor Dubuisson, and Billy Horschel, another group of three men who have not won a major. Here's another real interesting group. Adam Scott is going to be playing for the first time in the U.S. Tour this year with Jim Furyk, who we know is Mr. Consistency, and Jason Day. Jason Day on the verge, number four in the world, on the verge of, well, feeling really good, playing great, a winner earlier this year. Looking for Jason Day to have some big heroics this year. Martin Kaymer with Ricky Fowler and Matt Kuchar. Martin, of course, a two-time major champ. Looking down the list, Westwood, Ooshazen, and Jason Duffner is another interesting group. Keegan Bradley, by the way, is playing with Ian Poulter, who faltered on Monday, had a great chance to win, very disappointed, along with Charles Schwartzel. I'll have my picks in a minute. Let's go on to the event in Puerto Rico that I really, as I said, I'm very intrigued with, because a lot of guys will be really trying hard to play very well and win a lot of money and try to win, beg your pardon, try to win that tournament. Let's see. We've got the group of Stephen Ames, Tim Herron, and Rod Pampling. That's an interesting group. Boo Weekly with John Merrick and PGA champion from 2001, David Toms. Y.E. Yang, the PGA champ a few years ago, playing with Tim Petrovic and Scotty McCarron, long-hitting Scotty McCarron. Jeff Maggert, who's doing pretty well on the Champions Tour, with Lee Jansen, who we know is doing pretty well on the Champions Tours. He won a few weeks ago at the Ace Tournament in Naples, Florida. And Bryce Garnett. David Duval making his debut this year. Doesn't play very often, but he's playing this week with Guy Boros and South Floridian Nicholas Thompson, sister of a brother of Lexi. And let's see, we've got Paul Stankowski, Benjamin Alvarado, and Eliano Grillo. Mark Brooks is playing with Vaughn Taylor and Markel Kavecchia, so two major champions in that group. Trevor Immelman, trying hard to get back online, is playing with Bill Lundy and Zach Blair. Okay, let me give you my choices for Puerto Rico first, and then I will give you my choices to win at the Cadillac Invitational. First, I've got Derek Ernst, Ro Ishikawa, and Scott Brown. Ernst, Ishikawa, and Scott Brown, that is in Puerto Rico. 132 men, 11 major champions in the event. Now moving along to my picks in Miami, Doral, Florida, to be exact, at the famed Blue Monster, if you will, and it's been redesigned a couple of times. It's now owned by Mr. Trump. I have a guy who played pretty well last week most of the time, ready, I think, to play really well, Phil Mickelson. And I rarely pick Phil, but I'm picking him this week with Keegan Bradley and J.B. Holmes. I've got Mickelson, Bradley, and Holmes. I think Keegan Bradley is just such a great player, on the verge of playing some really, really good golf. I like him, obviously. And J.B. Holmes has just been playing terrific. Took a week off last week. A number of guys did, actually, even though it was a great event. Matt Kuchar's back. I often like Matt, but not this week. I may, sneak preview, I may like Matt next week in Innisbrook. We'll talk about that next week. Anyway, that is my show for this week. My email address, and I get back to everybody on email, and it may take me a day or so, but I do respond. I love getting emails from you, is bob@bobgeismar.com. That's bob@bobgeis, as in Sam, MAR.com. Thanks so much for joining me. One Thought Golf on Blog Talk Radio. This is Bob Geismar saying so long for now.